Let's open our Bibles to John 10:27. John 10:27. Last week I was sharing with you from Psalm 23, actually. I had some fresh revelation from that. I need to continue. But Psalm 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Now back at verse, I think it was verse 13, 14, he said, "I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. The Lord is our shepherd. Now, as a result of that, everything's provided for us. Therefore, we shall not want." If you believe in him as your shepherd and you partake of that ministry, you open yourself to receive that ministry, all that you would need is provided for you. So don't be thinking about what you don't have, thinking about the one whom you do have. You have the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd. And in that ministry, all things needed are provided for us. Hallelujah. I would suggest you listen over last week's message and what I was sharing in the Bible study time about being redeemed from the curse. I'm not going to re-preach it. You need to go there and listen to it and hear it. It's all building, 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 building. My sheep hear my voice. Now, we may be his sheep or not be his sheep, but if you are a sheep, there are some givens here that he gives us. One is you hear his voice. I know them and they follow me. And then he says he's going to do something. He'll give us eternal life. He'll protect us. He'll deliver us. We'll not perish. The enemy can't pluck us out of the Father's hand. It doesn't matter how many demons are out there in the lawn. They can't touch you when you're abiding in him and submitted to the shepherd, Jesus Christ, in faith, hallelujah, and obedience to him. We don't have to worry about devils. You need to be aware of their devices to bring you in deception, to lead you into sin, which would open the door whereby he can bring destruction into your life. But if you don't open any door, he's not getting in. Praise the Lord. You know, it come fall, about November, mice will try and get into a warm place in your house. And if there's the slightest little crack, they'll get in. And in most years, there'll be like a mouse. You know, you hear it up in the attic, up in the loft area. Got to get the traps out. You might see a little mouse dirt, you know, in a closet or something like that. Just got to seal it off. Seal it off. We're sealed with the Holy Ghost. As we continue to abide in him and allow the Holy Spirit's ministry, there's a sealing. The devil can have no place. He can't run roughshod over your life. Sometimes people say, "Oh, the devil is just attacking. Oh, it's just the devil this, the devil that." Well, don't let him do it. Give him no place. If he could just up and destroy you, he would. He hates you. Because you're the redeemed of the Lord. You're the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. He wants to steal the glory. So if he can destroy you, he's robbing the glory of God because you were created to carry it. Well, my sheep hear my voice. There's a lot of voices in the world. You are listening to some voices. You just need to know what you're listening to. You could be listening to the shepherd, or you could be listening to a devil, or you could be listening to a man, or you could be listening to your own flesh. Your own carnal desires begin to have a voice. Try fasting. You'll hear the voice of the flesh after so many hours say, "Hey, let's pour some food down here. We're hungry." And it'll start banging on your gut, telling you. This is a voice of the flesh. You know, people have desires that might lead them, sexual desires, desires for food. You get addicted to alcohol or drugs or whatever. And the voice that will lead you. Then there's the voice of man. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of the fivefold ministry, bringing forth the word of God to perfect or mature the saints. And it says that they can do the work of the ministry. We're to grow up to work, not to grow up just to have leisure and pleasure, but to grow up to work for the Lord. And it says that we're not tossed around by every wind of doctrine, by the cunningness and deceitfulness of man. People will try to lead you for their own advantage. Now, politicians are notorious for that, but a lot of other people do that as well. generally, if I'm going to take any advice to buy something, it's got to be somebody I trust. It generally doesn't involve a salesman. There are some salesmen that are my friends that I trust. They can give me advice because I trust them. If I just walk into a store, I'm not looking to hear from a salesman because I know he wants my money. So he might tell me that he'll leave me the expensive thing first. You don't want that. Well, here's this cheap stuff over here. If he knew I was cheap, he'd lead me right to the cheap stuff. But they want to make the big sale. People will lead you to take advantage of you. And some people end up taking on a controlling spirit, which is demonic, to control people for their own personal gain and advantage. Whether it's they just want recognition or they want some money out of it, they want you to do something for them. But man will lead you to their own advantage. Then there's devils, the voice of demons in the earth. If you're not following the shepherd, you are following one of these other voices at any given point in time. And a lot of Christians are following demons. Well, that's not nice. No, it's not. It is ugly, but it's the truth. A lot of people who believe on the Lord follow demons. And if you continue to do that, it'll be to your destruction of your body and possibly your soul. If you keep going down that road long enough, you could renounce the Holy Ghost, blaspheme him, completely reject him from your life, not wanting any conviction. My sheep hear my voice. Satan, his voice, there's three basic things brought out in Genesis chapter 3. How do you know the devil's talking to you? Well, one, he's going to cause you to doubt God. He said, hath God said? And that's what he tried to come at Jesus. He said, if you're the Son of God, do this, that, and the other. He tried to get Jesus to doubt the word he just heard from heaven, that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The affirmation of the Father. He wanted him to doubt that. That gave him a confidence moving forward that his heavenly Father believed in him, and it was the time. It was the right time in God to be launched into the ministry. Jesus, as a man, needed that assurance. His ministry, he walked in as a man. That's because you, as a man, being born of God, a son of God, can walk in the same thing by the same power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost and released by authority. He submitted to John the Baptist, who was recognized as anointed of God to be water baptized. John said, you should baptize me. He said, no, it must be done. Jesus himself submitted to authority. He submitted to the authority that he recognized right there, the prophetic anointing on John the Baptist. And he was baptized in the Holy Ghost as he's baptized in water, empowered as man and having authority as Son of God and the power of the Holy Ghost as a man to do all that he needed to do in that 3-year span before his death, for his death and resurrection. Satan tried to make him doubt. Satan came to Eve. Hath God said? Did God really say this? You know, when you begin speaking truth to your children, Satan's going to come at them to try to bring doubt into their heart, to doubt mom and dad. You need to be consistent or you can create the doubt yourself. But the devil will come, and that's why it's important that in the home, the church, and the school we're saying the same thing. It helps to alleviate doubt, to diminish that. I remember one time in a high school Bible class, there was a girl come up to me afterwards, and I was sharing things by the Holy Ghost. She said, my mom called you this morning? I said, no. She said everything you just said to me before I left for school. It's confirmation from the Holy Ghost. She says, I can't get away from what God's saying. I thought, praise the Lord. That's where we want you to be. You can't get away from him, because she was hearing the same thing by the Spirit of God. Mom was speaking the truth. She'd come into Bible class, and I spoke the same thing without any conversation. She knew that was the Holy Ghost. Couldn't escape that. You see, the supernatural is not always drama and miracles and spectacular. The supernatural can be in the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, a word from God. That word in due season, that right word, because that edifies our spirit man. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Well, my sheep hear my voice. Satan, his voice will try to, the next thing he did with Eve, say there's no consequence. You won't die. You partake, you won't die. His lie came next. There's no consequence. Today you have people not wanting to have any responsibility and wanting there to be no consequence, and it's unraveling our society. And you have all the brainiacs scratching their head, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why are people just robbing stores and doing all this and that? Well, it's real simple, pal. You see it in the Bible. No responsibility, no consequence, then there's no restraint on the flesh. It's real simple. But because these brainiacs want to deny the authority of Jesus Christ as well, they won't acknowledge the real truth. They only go so far. So they continue to scratch their head. Why are these people killing everybody? Why are they doing all this? Well, they're being ruled by demons, and they believe the lie is not going to be a consequence, and they're not responsible for their actions, both in this earth and through eternity. Because to do some of those things, if there's no repentance, they're going to be a punishment in hell through eternity. They'll have to bear that responsibility. But praise God, Jesus said, I'll take responsibility for the sin of man. For those who will believe upon me, it's on me. And he was made a curse. He took our sin upon himself that we could be made righteous by faith. Hallelujah. Well, third thing Satan come along and do then says, hey, look at this. To get people to lust the things of this world. Look at this fruit. Oh, it's pleasant. It's good. It'll make you wise. You'll have recognition. You're somebody. You'll be equal to God. So he fed on pride and lust. And it says there in 1 John, all that's in the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And that's right where he came at his voice. So the things that are drawing your attention more to worldly elements, not necessarily just bad stuff, but just wanting worldly pleasure more than him. Now people will lie to themselves and say, well, actually, I love God more. What are you focused on? What are you pursuing? What you're pursuing is the proof of what you really desire the most. Because the principle is you will pursue your strongest desire at any given point in time. You will. You'll pursue it. You know, as the desire of hunger begins to increase, I'll get up and walk to the refrigerator. I'll go to the grocery store. If that's not there, I don't think about it. You're not any different. You will pursue desires. What you are pursuing shows what is in the heart. So don't lie to yourself. Oh, how much I love God, but you don't pursue him. That's self-deception. That's lying to yourself. And that's a principle. You pursue your strongest desire. So Satan is going to tempt you to desire something of this world more than God. And the self-deceptions, you can say, well, I do desire God, but really all I'm thinking about is my vacation. All I'm thinking about is play or this, that, or the other. If that's the main thing dominating your thoughts, it is the dominant desire. Don't lie to yourself. And you are pursuing it. Now, that's how you know the voice of Satan. Real simple, in a real simple nutshell. Doubt God. I can do what I want to do. I'm my own boss. Which is to deny the lordship of God. I can do what I want to do. There's no consequence. I can do whatever. It's okay. If Satan will take you out, you bite on that one. Well, you can do what you want to do. Go to church where you want to go, if you want to go, when you want to go. See, that's that lie. I can do what I want to do. But we'll justify it because while I'm not wanting to do something I call evil, well, God calls anything that's not of faith and anything that's not obeying him evil. So I don't call it evil, so it's okay. I can just sort of do what I want to do. Now, God is fine with you having certain decisions, like color carpet you want to put in your living room. He doesn't really care. Don't over-spiritualize this. But concerning the things that he commands you, it's not negotiable. It's exactly as he says. You know, you can decide what you want to have for dinner tonight. God doesn't really care. That's your choice. Now, some things might be wise and some things maybe not so wise. I mean, you'll have to know that for yourself. Okay, so the voice of the enemy will always lead us to doubt, exalt ourselves, and say, well, there's no consequence. I can be my own authority, which was the sin of Adam. And then to desire anything of this world more than God. Now, in a parable of the sower, what would choke the word is the love of pleasure, trusting in money, and the pride of life, or wanting to have recognition from man. And that's the essence of the flesh. So Satan will use the flesh to lure you, to tempt you, to lure you away from God. But my sheep hear my voice and follow me. The voice of the shepherd. The shepherd is going to minister the word to us. The commandments of God. He gives us commandments for a reason and not suggestions. They're not the 10 suggestions. Because if it's a suggestion, then you have the choice whether you're going to do it or not. And guess what? You give your flesh a choice, it'll take the easiest route pretty well every time. That's what the flesh will do. So God gives us a command where it brings us back to it's a decision to obey or not. This is from the voice of the authority. God is my Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd is my Lord. For him not to be Lord, he's not really your shepherd. Because you're not going to follow him. If you're not following him, you're following yourself, a devil, or a man. But when the Lord is our shepherd and the shepherd is our Lord, we'll follow him. We know his voice. Now back in Psalm 23 verse 2, I shared this last week, but it bears repetition here, or a little more expounding even than I did last week. He said, he makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The ministry of the Lord as shepherd, first thing mentioned there, is he's going to lead you into the word of God. As sheep would be led to the good grass, we are led to the word of God. So anyone paying attention to the shepherd is going to hear his voice say, go to church. Because that's what God has ordained for the ministry of the word to take place. And he would call and set some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to feed the flock that the flock can mature and end up doing the work of God to be done in the earth. We're all to be workers for him. That's your real job. You do some other stuff just for money, but your real job's working for the Lord. And the shepherd, if we're following him, he will lead us to his word. And if you take it on yourself just to say, well, you know, I don't really need it this week, you're already exalting yourself against him. Because he ordained Sabbath. He ordained for that coming worship and the hearing of his word. And if you think you don't need it more than whatever amount you're getting, you're already deceived. Because it's by the word of God that we have faith. By the word of God, we know his will. By the word of God, we are empowered to do his will. I need his word abiding in me. Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. Some people think, well, if I just ask, everything will be fine. But you have to abide. And the abiding in his words, where faith comes from. And it's by the word of God, by the truth, we're set free from the deception of the devil and from the curse that's in spirit, soul, and body. We are set free by the power of the word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The word that speaks to whatever area of bondage that the enemy's trying to bring into your life. It's the truth that'll set you free. It's the word that allows you or enables you to have discernment, to not be deceived by the voice of the devil, to not be deceived by man or your own flesh. If we're not full of the word, we'll end up deceived. If you're not hungry for the word, I said last week, you're sick. It's like in the natural, when you're dealing with illness, you have no appetite. So you see a doctor will say, well, how's your appetite? Did you ever have one ask you that? You know why they're asking you that? Because before they do any tests, they know you're sick. You're not eating. It's pretty simple. Well, we don't have a hunger for the word to make you go to the refrigerator, come to church. You're sick. And I don't mean that like a derogative on anybody. I'm just saying, as a matter of fact, your state spiritually is that you're ill. You're lacking. There's something going on that could, if it continues, take you down. You know, sickness, if it's not stopped, could bring death. You have that in spirit, it could bring you to a place of deception and sin, to where the door is wide open to Satan and all his work. Well, my sheep hear my voice. Anyone who thinks they don't have to go to church, I'm going to tell you flat out, they're not hearing from God, they're not following the shepherd, and Jesus isn't really the Lord of their life. Because the shepherd will guide you in that direction. Now he says, he'll lead me by the still waters. He's leading the still waters. And I referenced this last week from John chapter 7, where it speaks of the Holy Spirit being that living water. And that out of our, as we receive him, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. The water of God is the Spirit of God. And it says in Psalm 22:3 that he inhabits the praise of his people, or his presence is manifest as we praise and worship him. That's my expectation. As we gather in the will of God and worship him, I'm not just singing songs. Oh, that's a nice song. Why don't we do one with this rhythm or whatever? It's the worship of God, the declaring of who he is from the very depth of my being in unity with the brethren, which magnifies all of it. The power and life of God's magnified when believers are together in unity in that. So you say, well, I can worship by myself. Yeah, you can. But it's a whole lot better, and it's the will of God. You do it together. You do it amongst believers. I mean, if I was up for standing up, I'd have been jumping up and down here a while ago. Just a couple opening songs. The word in it is so powerful. And it's in my heart. There's times I sing at the top of my lungs. Hope I wasn't bothering you, Don. I've already, you know, be worshiping like that and end up turned like this. And my mouth's right to her eardrum. You know, it's like, sorry, I don't think I did that here. But so if I sit in the front, I can sing loud. Any people hearing me really is up on the stage. Is that too loud, Jared? That's why they have those monitors there. You know, they got to hear themselves, too. But I can't help myself. Well, I could, but I don't want to. I don't want to hold back worship from God. He's worthy of it all. And in giving it all to him personally, I can experience, and I did, and I do, more of his presence. Now, that's a blessing for you, because that translates into more of an anointing to preach the word. But I'm not doing it to get that. I'm doing it just for him. The Lord is my shepherd, leads me to worship. Because he's worthy. You can say, well, I want to go to heaven. What do you think's happening up there? Just read the Bible, find out. It's worship of God, continuous. If you don't like it here, then you might not like heaven too well, but the alternative's not very good. Hell, where there's torment forever and ever. That's the options. So learn to know God, and as you know him, to worship him and submit to the shepherd following after him into the place of worship at the time ordained of him. God doesn't require that of us every day of the week. You've got to wash your clothes and go grocery shopping and do all that other stuff too. But he does command 1:7. My sheep know my voice. As it said there in verse 3, he restores my soul. That word restore in Hebrew is a word for turn or cause you to turn around, which we also know, especially in the Greek, as repent. To turn toward him, to bring conviction to our heart. The shepherd will convict you because he loves you. He doesn't want you going astray. He'll call you, hey, you're going off. But if you don't hear him, you go off. I shared the illustration of our dogs. Our strong-willed puppy, it's now almost 3, she responds to the voice of her master. She can be in a dead run after a squirrel, and Donna can say, Elsa! What do you say, stop or no? She has all kinds of stuff. But she stops. 3 years ago, you thought that wouldn't have been never happened. Take a miracle. But you have to believe in the training. We believed in the training. Believing that she will learn that. She will learn what those words mean. She will respond. She will receive us as her master. And receiving us, and especially Don. Don is number one. She's the master. That breed of dog picks one person. You're a master. She likes me. But her life hinges on Donna. And she can be looking like she's going to fly through the front window at a stranger. She hates garbage men and UPS men. Elsa, quiet. Burf, burf. I'm barking on the inside, but not on the outside. Burf, burf. Oh, that we're only as obedient as our dogs. That the shepherd can speak to you, stop. That will lead you into sin. Don't entertain those thoughts. Don't speak those words that are unbelief or fear. Don't entertain thoughts of lust or pride. Stop. Turn back towards me. Stay with me. Stay in the flock. You know, when it comes to in the wild, I've seen a video already in Africa where you have like a deer-type animal in a herd and a cat-type animal, lion or tiger or cheetah or whatever, and they'll run the herd. And like the older or weaker one will kind of fall off to the back end of it. And if they can separate them from the herd, they'll run them down, kill them, and eat them in seconds. And I remember watching this years ago, and God spoke to me and said, that's just how the devil is. He'll try and separate you from the body, separate you from the herd. If you allow yourself to get weak, or even the young are very vulnerable, that they need protected in that sense, he'll separate you. Separates you all from the word. Separates you all from the body, from the prayers of the saints. Separates you all from fellowship. Well, I don't need a fellowship. You're deceived. You believe that. You're deceived. You think you can just pick and choose. You're deceived. You think, well, I can go to church if I feel like it. And we'll go away and I'll read 3 verses out of my Bible. And it's okay. God will be satisfied. I stamp my clock for God. No, we need the abiding in him, the abiding in his word. That's what it is to follow the shepherd. He said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. They follow me into the word. They follow me into worship. They follow him as he would lead us in obedience. It says he knows his sheep. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the God of the past, present, and the future. He knows everything about your past, everything that's influenced you to be who you are in the positive or the negative today. He can give you a word to set you free from something that happened 35 years ago and you now have fear in your heart. He can set you free. He knows. Most people don't know what the problem is with themselves. If it was, they'd try to fix it. So they go to counselors and whatever else, hoping somebody can tell them what's wrong with them. People go to a doctor wanting to tell me what's wrong with me. The last thing you want to hear is, we don't know. Did you ever have that happen? Well, you didn't help me much, pal. But the Lord knows everything. He knows what you need set free from. He knows the word that will deliver you. He knows what's going on right now. That's why there's times of ministry where he speaks to you in the now. There's a word from God, whether it's just in the preaching or whether it's in just someone conversation speaking by the Holy Ghost. Or a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. It speaks to the now. But can we hear it? Many times what we have needed to hear, it's always been there. It's come out many a times, but we couldn't hear. Why? Because there's something else too loud. I remember riding home from vacation one time. We had AM radio on. It's back in the old days. You know, Sirius satellite or whatever. Listen to this Baltimore Orioles baseball game. And the station it came in on, you know, we were kind of at a distance. So you could kind of hear it, but you heard this other yakking going on. And I was listening to the game. There was other noise. My wife wasn't interested in the game. She wasn't cued in on that. And this other noise was nothing but a distraction. And the longer it went, it was like torment. Please change the station. Put something we can hear it. But for a lot of people in life, there's too many voices, and it could be the voice of the Lord, just like background noise, and something else is louder getting their attention. Or maybe they're trying to really hear what the Lord's saying, but there's all this other noise, their flesh, devils, and man. And we have to get the, now this is a little bit old school. Younger ones will have to bear with me on this, but you used to have to work to dial something in. You had to get, or even the old television, you have like the rabbit ears, the antennas, and you play with them, put tin foil on them, and do all this stuff to get better reception. Sometimes we need some better reception. And then along came cable, where it just is on or is off. That's the kind of dialed in with God we need to be. We hear his voice. And if you're not hearing him on the simple, basic commands, don't think you're going to hear him for a decision you're going to make to do this or do that or marry someone or whatever. A lot of people struggle with that. You want to hear the voice of God for particulars in your life better. Listen to him very clearly. Be very obedient in the basic commandments that are to all of us. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in the green pasture. He doesn't suggest to go to the pasture. He says he makes you. If you're going to follow him, he's saying, here's where we're going. Also, the Lord, in knowing us, knows our future. So it's only him who can lead us in the right path to walk out all the days of our life, because he knows what his purpose and plan is for your life. He knows your future. You can avoid a lot of grief, or you can walk right in his will. And we need to do so with the aim that when my life's over, I will stand before the Lord and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. That we know we're ready to enter heaven and eternity in the presence of God without the distraction and noise here on earth, living the life of the worship of God forever and ever. Jesus said to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, everything gives glory to God. Everything exists for him. And we want to learn to be that way here. Brother Groover, and being taken to heaven, shared that thing and said that there's a life cycle of heaven. Worship team, you can come up front here a while. the life cycle of heaven. The man that saw the testimony of Jesus on the robe of the saints would read that and fall in worship. Read more of the testimony, fall in worship. Read more of the testimony and fall in worship. And he said, as earth has a life cycle, you breathe in oxygen, exhale out carbon dioxide. That's what the foremost thing that keeps you alive on this earth. The taking in the testimony of Jesus, breathing out praise. That is heaven. That's the life cycle of heaven. So you're hearing the word now. Let's exhale some praise.